This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Anton, your Nederlands klinkt mij heel goed hoor. I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Wonderful.
Back in Cape Town this week, which is absolutely amazing. Visiting our daughter and some members of our congregation and friends, and doing a little bit of work at Stellenbosch. So it's absolutely fantastic to be here.
Wonderful. When are you heading back?
So early next week, we make our way back to Amsterdam. It's still term time there, so I have to go back and do a little bit more teaching and grading, and then of course the wonderful European summer holidays start. So towards the end of June, we get a bit of a break there. So I'm looking forward to that.
Sounds nice.
But Anton, so this week, one of the things I was asked to do was to come and do a lecture in Stellenbosch. And recently I've been working on a project on religion and populism. Now, just for our listeners who don't know, populism is a political phenomenon where leaders who have a certain kind of charisma, a way of drawing people in, identify some wound or some fear that people feel. So there's a measure of truth to what they're doing, but what they often do then is they over-accentuate it. They extend that particular fear or that particular wound that people have. And then what they do is they try and draw people together to say, well, we are the people, we are the righteous ones, the pure ones, the good ones, the ones who are on the right side of politics and history. And those people over there, they're the problem. They're the reason that you have this fear or this problem. Now, this happens all over the world, and it's happened throughout history. We saw it, for example, in the Rwandan genocide. It was what led to the rise of National Socialism. Apartheid was a particular kind of expression of this. And we're currently seeing it, for example, in America, in places like Hungary. But even here in South Africa, it happens. And what tends to happen in highly religious societies like South Africa and Brazil is that sometimes kind of religious element, a faith element, gets attached to this populism. So the rhetoric is not only about these people being politically or socially wrong, but very often people begin to draw kind of theological and religious language to demarcate who is on the inside, the good people, and who is on the outside. Perhaps one of the clearest examples of this, which I wrote about a few years ago, was when our former state president, Mr. Jacob Zuma, said, if you vote for the ANC, you will go to heaven. So those kinds of statements, one can see, you know, that's clearly, you know, theologically problematic, but one draws on this. Now, the issue that I was asked to come and speak about this week is xenophobia. So I have a project which is working on migration and identity. And Anton, think about this for a moment. You know, the Christian Gospels ask us to deal with every human person as if they are our neighbor. But of course, there are some logical limits to that, you know, to neighborliness. I mean, up to what point does a person remain our neighbor? And are there some responsibilities that leave people outside of our care? Now, one of the challenging things that we've seen, particularly in South Africa recently, is that the borders of the nation have been used to describe who is a neighbor and who is not. Now, that's a very, very problematic thing to do, because if you think about it, borders, the borders of nations, are not ontological concepts. They're not created by God. You know, the borders of the nation were created by political actors. They shift over history and time. They're created very often by powerful men, sometimes also powerful women, and they prescribe who is in and who is out. But in the Christian gospel, our sense of inclusion is much wider. And I was thinking about it this week. So just as I was flying over, a statement came from a populist group called March, 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 March and March in KwaZulu-Natal, saying Ubuntu has been suspended until further notice. And the Desmond Tutu Foundation, with who I've worked over the years, put out a statement to say, look, if we are a Christian nation, we have to be incredibly cautious of saying that the humanity of others, their dignity, can be suspended if we find them different from ourselves, or perhaps if we feel ourselves being threatened by their presence. We can't just suspend their dignity and their rights. And of course, the consequence of doing that, when we begin to speak, it often activates a kind of imagination that allows people to dehumanize others. So instead of these persons who are in our midst being treated as people, as mothers, as fathers, as children, as brothers and sisters, they get treated as a kind of a category, the immigrant, the undocumented person, the criminal. You know, these attachments get placed on people and their identities become very narrow and thin, because in that way we can deal with them. You know, we can expel them. We can even perpetrate violence against them because they're not human like we are. So, Anton, I've been praying about this over the last week, and I was wondering, you know, if you think about it, when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, because of violence, escaped to Egypt. You might remember that from the New Testament. And I was wondering, if Jesus and Mary and Joseph came to South Africa today escaping violence, whether it be in the Congo, whether it be, for example, the slow violence of economic degradation in Zimbabwe, I wonder what kind of a welcome they would have received from the Christians of South Africa. And, you know, the Lord placed this in my heart and said, Dion, I want you to think about this very, very carefully. And a couple of things came to mind. The first one is, I think that what the gospel demands of us is not to oversimplify these problems. And we must be cautious of charismatic people who draw these very, very stark lines, who scapegoat all sorts of problems. And there's no doubt that we have real challenges and problems in South Africa, but people who create a very simplistic binary between we are right and those people are wrong, you know, all of our problems are related to those people. We must be very cautious about that. So that's the first thing, be careful of oversimplification. Second thing is, I think as Christians, we need to recognize that the water of our baptism is thicker than the blood of the nation. We need to recognize that Jesus always takes the first preference. And as Christians, we are citizens of God's kingdom first and foremost. And that means that we live in slightly different ways from those whose ultimate aim is, for example, politics or economics or the nation or wealth. For us as Christians, we have to say, how do we live with the neighbor or the stranger, even the person we don't fully understand, in a way in which Jesus would say, I would say amen to that. Now, that doesn't mean we just uncritically accept every person who's here, but it does mean that we, for example, will speak the truth. You know, when a false narrative is projected, we'll say, no, that's not true. When violence is proposed, we'll say, that's not the way of the gospel. So that's the second thing that I'd say. Third thing that I would say, Anton, is I really think that we should be praying for one another and for our nation. The reality is that many, many South Africans are under tremendous pressure. And, you know, when they see that they're suffering and others perhaps are getting ahead, it's easy for the evil one to drive a dividing wall between us, as Paul says in his letters. And we need to say, Lord, would you deal with us first? First, would you create within our hearts a way of living that's not driven by fear, but that's driven by love and openness, that's directed towards truth, not towards lies, that can bear the name of the Prince of Peace, and that's not directed towards violence. So let's pray for that ourselves. But let's also be praying for a realistic and tangible solution to the problem. You know, during the anti-apartheid struggle, we didn't quite know what the solution was to apartheid. We couldn't just put our finger on one thing and say, this is the thing we can do immediately to resolve the whole thing. But as Christians, as leaders in the church, we prayed for decades and sought God's wisdom and said, reveal to us, show to us some of the smaller things and some of the bigger things that we can do in order to resolve this problem. And Anton, the one thing that I can say is the God who is faithful will show us in the most supernatural and creative ways, you can do this, that can be changed. I can move and change this so that things can be different. So Anton, maybe just a little appeal to our listeners today is just to say, take a couple of minutes somewhere, maybe during the day, go before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, what kind of a Christian do you want me to be in this situation? If I'm amongst family and friends, how can I be a peacemaker, someone who speaks truth in love and just helps not to collapse this thing into the simple binaries, but to say, let's spend a little bit of time thinking, a lot of time praying and saying, Lord, what can we do? Maybe the last thing that I want to say, Anton, is, you know, obviously for Megan and Liam and I, we now live as migrants in another country. And sometimes we experience the sharpness of our neighbors, of our colleagues, you know, just the unthinking word that people might say, you know, you've come, you've taken a job, or you've taken a house that could have been given to someone, or why couldn't you go back to your own country? And it makes me think, you know, how do we deal with people who are in our midst, you know, perhaps the person who's come to work with us or for us, and how do we just bless them, show them the love of Christ in a simple way, without collapsing into the political issue, but just to say, how can we be Christian in that situation? So, Anton, that's my encouragement today. You know, I'm not entirely sure what the solution is, but I can see with a little bit of clarity what some of the problems are and how we might avoid, you know, destroying our witness as Christians in this situation.
Thank you very much, Professor Dion Forster. We really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your stay in South Africa, and safe travels back. And next week, we'll chat to you from Amsterdam.
Absolutely, absolutely. I see the weather is almost identical in Amsterdam today as in Cape Town. So there you go. A European summer is the same as a Cape Town winter.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, friend. God bless. Bye. Bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.